I am sitting in the Fulham home of Nell Dunn, who has had a varied career, starting out as a novelist, getting involved in film and also theatre. Nell, welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, I'm just fascinated. I'm always fascinated how people become writers. So did you always want to be a writer from when you were 2 years old?
I always wanted to be a writer for a long time. But thinking about it, I realised that when I was young, you know, men were very much the important ones, and women were thought to be rather boring. And if you had housewife on your passport, you know, you had no status, you had no glamour. So I think I was ambitious for that reason as well.
And the writing, could you always write when you were at school? Were you known as someone who could write?
When I was at school, I did write, and I did get encouraged by the English teacher, who also gave me books to read. The classics, and so I was well read.
Yeah, that's always a very helpful start, isn't
Probably
it?
Is, I hope.
And pretty young, you were writing short stories very successfully.
I wasn't that young. I'd actually been sending things in for 7 years before I got published. And I got published, I think, in 1962. I was about 26.
We have different views on what is young for a published writer. 26 sounds pretty young for a published writer to me. And that was Up the Junction.
Yes.
Which started out as a book of short stories and then got filmed as well.
Yes, by Ken Loach.
By Ken Loach, yes. So there's the Ken Loach connection, which we'll be coming back to, I have no doubt at all. Did you realise that you'd written something that was going to be iconic, maybe overstating, it was going to be iconic?
Absolutely not. Completely not. I just wrote about what was going on around me. And I suppose that whatever small talent I have, and I think it might be quite common in playwrights, is that I could, if I heard somebody speak for a few days, I could then almost speak in their voice.
And that was just, it just happened you could do that?
It just happened I could do it, and I enjoyed doing it. So, in other words, if somebody I got to know in the street, and I then wanted to put them into a situation where they got murdered or something, I would sort of be able to pick up how they spoke.
And that was across all kind of classes, types of people, genders? You could just do it?
Yeah, no, I'm not so good on men, I don't think. I'm much better on women.
That's a confession. that's fascinating. And as you say, that is something that naturally leads towards becoming a playwright, becoming probably a film scriptwriter.
I think so. I think particularly a playwright.
And so you wrote the short stories, you sent them off to publishers, you sent lots of things off to publishers, and eventually you got accepted.
Yes, I sent them to the New Statesman.
Right, yes.
And the New Statesman started publishing them.
And once they published one, they just wanted more? Were you pushing them, or they were demanding them?
No, I wasn't pushing them that much. No, I sent them in and they took them.
And then that became a series that was then published.
Yeah, and then a publisher approached me for Up the Junction. So that was the next thing that happened.
And then you and Ken Loach. So how did, and Kenneth Loach, as he was called at that time,
did
you and Ken Loach get together? Was it luck?
Through a friend, interestingly enough, Christopher Logue, a poet.
Mm, yes.
Through him, he suggested to Ken that he should read Up the Junction.
And when you first met Ken Loach, what was his status? Was he completely unknown? Was he, he'd done some stuff for TV?
I think he might have been known. He was working for the BBC, because Up the Junction was a Wednesday play.
Yeah.
And he was young, and he wanted to have a go at filming Up the Junction. And so we spent a lot of time walking around South London, finding places and looking at places.
So you hadn't kind of got in your, or he and you between you hadn't got in your mind specific place that had to be regardless of anything. It was kind of looking around South London to find the right locations.
Yes.
And did you find it easy to work with him?
Very easy. Very easy, because he knew what he wanted. And so he would say, you know, I need this in just pure dialogue. And I could do that.
That sometimes doesn't work when a director knows what they want and a writer knows what they want. That can be a disaster.
Well, no, I love being told what's wanted. As long as I then am allowed to do my thing, being told what's wanted makes it much simpler.
And Up the Junction, so I'm too young, so it was about 50 years ago, but Up the Junction just caused an incredible sensation.
Yes, I think the reason for that was it showed Backstreet Abortion. I think that was the big thing, really. And this thing I remember, there was a family planning clinic, the big notice outside saying family planning clinic free, you know. But if you went in, first thing they asked you is, are you married? And if you weren't married, you couldn't use the family planning clinic.
And this was in the 1960s?
End of the 50s. I went there in 59. But it would have been into the 60s, yes.
Which just seems remarkable that 50 years on.
Yes.
Everything, well, I suppose we hear about the swinging 60s and everything probably changed very soon after that. Censorship disappeared,
yes.
Etc.
Yes, yes.
And you didn't get censored?
No. That was interesting, wasn't
You literally
it?
Didn't get censored. So the script that you delivered to Ken Loach that got filmed was...
Yes, yes.
How fascinating.
Well, I think his explanation was, we did it in August and everybody was away.
That's lovely.
So nobody saw it.
And did it literally change your life? Did it change your perception of who you were and what you were doing?
I hope not. I mean, I'd wanted to be a writer. I'd been working for 7 years, getting stuff sent back, which I sent in. I don't think it did change me that much. I think, you know, I think writing's hard work, and if you do it, you just get on and do it. And you do it because, for many different reasons, but mostly because, you know, you feel ambitious to achieve something, I think.
And get recognised.
I see it now as, in a way, ridiculous to put it on any kind of pedestal. You know, what matters is life, not writing.
Absolutely, but you portrayed life in such a way that people wanted to read about it, which is significant. And also the kind of life you portrayed, because I assume back then that the kind of people who tended to be in novels were Hampstead novelists writing about novelists who lived in Hampstead.
Well, there were... There was the Angry Young Men. I mean,
yeah.
Osborne and David Story and...
Kingsley Amis probably was a novelist in that category.
Yes, so they'd all been writing before I appeared. But there weren't many women.
Angry Young Women, no.
No, there weren't many. There were some, but there weren't many.
And the degree of success... I happened to dig out from my bookshelves a first edition of Poor Cow, written in 1967... by which time Up the Junction had sold 500,000 copies.
Yes.
And I don't know what the number is now, you must know, but it must be into millions, presumably.
Well, it's remained in print, which is very pleasing to me.
And again, was that something... You probably weren't expecting it, but could you imagine that 50 years on it would still be in print, having been in print right the way through?
No, I suppose I didn't think like that. You sort of thought by the day, wouldn't you? When you're young, you sort of think by the week.
Yes. Let's move on to Poor Cow. One of the reasons we're speaking is that a new, I can't remember the word, but I think remastered will do, a new remastered version of Poor Cow is just about to come out in cinemas, on Blu-ray and on DVD. And I've had a very quick glance and it does look fantastic. It looks too beautiful because you're trying to think this is the mid-1960s and the picture quality, sound quality are so good, it feels as if it could almost be today.
Well, that must be a professional opinion because I wouldn't know.
I'm not that professional either. Yeah. It's more an opinion just looking at it, not thinking, gosh, this is terrible, there are cracks here and jumps there and so on, which I presume someone has worked very hard to remove.
Yes.
And Poor Cow was your first novel.
Yes.
And what led to that? Because again, gritty.
I was writing about who and what was around me and what was happening around me. And I was obviously very interested in women. So I wanted to write what it was like being a young woman at that time with no money and no profession.
And you have a protagonist who... trying to work out the best way of describing it, who's, well, at least she fell into bed in most senses with criminals, and therefore she had very little hope.
Well, not only criminals, the people she fancied. She loved the men, she loved whoever she was with. She had, which I think is interesting. So it didn't really matter that she did go change from man to man, because each one she really loved.
But no sense of permanence. Well, maybe she would have liked a sense of permanence, but...
Maybe she didn't. Maybe she didn't.
Very hard to know. And again, that may have been something that was common in the mid-1960s, but it probably wasn't something that was acknowledged.
Maybe not. I was asked on live television at the time I feel that what I had done was very wrong because I was promoting promiscuity. And my reaction was I thought it was terribly funny. But actually, I said, in a way, I believe in promiscuity because promiscuity is only looking for somebody to fall permanently in love with. And he was quite taken aback. I was very proud of my art.
And did you realise when you were writing, do you think, gosh, I'm writing about promoting promiscuity?
No.
I assume that might be the answer.
I was writing about real life.
So... Are your female characters, sorry, I'm asking in the middle of the interview rather than the end, are your female characters based on an amalgam of individuals, based on individuals, based on types, or based on pure invention? With lots of choice.
Well, certainly not types. Individuals plus invention. What I was saying in the beginning, that I can pick up on the way someone thinks and find their language.
But was there somebody who, when Poor Cow was published, said, gosh, that's me?
No.
Is that only because they didn't read it?
Maybe.
And you're writing about people who are different from yourself, but you mix with. That's probably a reasonably fair comment. How much of yourself actually ends up in your female characters?
Oh, I think a lot.
And is that deliberate? Is it accidental? Or you just write and that's where you end up?
Well, that's where I end up. Because, you know, I'm writing about women, and in that case, I'm writing about a young woman. So, yes, I bring myself into it a lot.
So, to that point, you'd written some short stories, a novel, a book of interviews with women.
Talking to women, talking to women. Conversations, rather than interviews.
I apologise, conversations with women. And probably rather further on, you then moved into theatre.
Yes, a lot further on, actually. Yes. It was 1981, I think, Steaming came.
Yes, and Steaming was the big success.
Yes, which was the first play.
And probably still produced today somewhere, I imagine.
I think the last time was about a year ago, and not a good production.
Right, that probably counts as close to today, and suggests there'll be more going. Again, a play absolutely about women.
Yes.
Is there any man in it at all?
There's a man who, I don't think he appears, you hear his voice. You hear his voice shouting.
I think we'll count that as a play about women. And that is possibly slightly different because it is conversations between, I can't do the number, but four or five leading roles. Six in all.
Yes.
Again, was it conscious that you decided to have a variety of women, different classes, different ages?
No, I think the truth was, I started going to the steam baths in Hackney and, you know, became very interested in the way women spoke to each other when they had a whole day together. Mm. And so it really came from chance.
And then it becomes deeply political, but kind of on a microscopic scale, microcosmic scale.
Once again, I didn't write it as political. I wanted to say what was happening around me,
and
perhaps that is political. I don't know.
It ends up with the steam baths closing or about to close.
Yes.
I better not spoil it, or not closing as the case. Maybe the possibility that they might close.
Yes.
Was that based on real life, or that was you?
Yes, they were closing like anything at that time.
And did it have that kind of potent reaction on the people in there? Probably it did.
Yes, it did. They were incredibly upset. They didn't do what the play does, which they get. A challenging gang together to try and stop it. But certainly people were very upset because it was a special place for them.
And did it close?
And it closed.
And did you follow them afterwards? You know what happened to them?
No, but I mean, it wasn't just a few people, there were a lot of people.
No, I'm sure.
A lot of people
Yes.
used it. I just did, five characters or six characters.
Did you find playwriting very different from writing for, well, novels probably yes, screen probably less so.
Yeah, no, it was very different. I found it terrific fun, the plays, getting people to talk to each other.
Yes.
And I was also rather amazed at the complexity of it, because if you have six people, you have to have 36 relationships or something, because each
Assuming they all
character,
interrelate, yes.
yes, they're all on the stage at time together and things. And that was a challenge. But it was great fun. It's interesting, it's called a play. And the whole
Yes.
experience of it happening and the rehearsals and all that stuff was great fun.
And what made it happen? Why suddenly in 1980, 1981 did you decide to write a play? Were you commissioned or?
I got very isolated writing books, and I thought it would be interesting to try and write a play. And the Fringe was very lively at the time, and I'd do a Fringe play. And so I wrote it, and I saw a play I really liked at the Duke of York's Theatre, and I took my play to the stage door and said, "Could you give that to the director?" And they did. And he got together with Stratford East, and they pushed on.
And who's the director, sorry?
He called Roger Smith.
Right. And how much input did was needed from him to make the
A
play into a
lot,
play?
a
I guess
really
probably if you've
a
never written one
lot.
before.
I'd never written one before, and he helped a lot.
So the basic training, just not having people coming off one side and coming on the same side at
Yes,
the same time and things like
yes, they're
that.
all that kind of thing. Which I found extremely interesting. I absolutely loved doing it. I loved writing plays. I haven't written very many. I wrote one which I loved too, called Sisters, which was on at the Wolsey Theatre in Ipswich, but didn't come to London. So Steaming's been my only London one.
Certainly, I wasn't aware of any other London plays you'd written, but that could have been me
Yes,
missing them.
no, absolutely not. One called Cancer Tales that had been published that went round lots of hospitals and went to various places, but not on the London stage.
And again, the personal experience of discovering your play, which started off, you say, Stratford East, ended up in the West End. Splendidly for a debut play, that is really is quite special. What did it mean to you? You're suddenly sitting at an opening night in the West End with lots of stars around, and it's your play.
Well, I was thrilled and delighted, but I don't think and I was really thrilled to see it, and the actors. I was just so lucky with the actors. I had Brenda Blethyn and
Yes.
Georgina Hale, both who were wonderful. So I felt very lucky, and I loved it. But I wasn't terribly interested in kind of being with a lot of people and a lot of parties, really.
So we've probably talked about every type of writing that you've done now. So what's your preference? Would
I've
you?
done a children's book too.
I apologise, a children's book as well. So four different genres, arguably a lot more than that, but four different genres, maybe five, including short stories. Do you have a particular preference? Do you just like the variety?
Probably enjoyed doing the play most because it was terrific fun having actors saying your lines. It was really exciting.
Did you get involved in the rehearsal
I
process?
did. I did. And playwrights, in a way, have a better time than screenwriters because you are in charge
Yeah, people listen to you.
of your words, and they may not put it on, but they don't try and change your words.
No, and did you work with the actors as well as the director in
Yes,
developing
but
it?
I was told very sharply, quite near the beginning of rehearsals, that the writer went through the director and mustn't speak directly to the actors.
And did you abide by that?
I did.
You didn't sneak
Yeah,
round the back and
no, I did. I did.
And the final version of the play, did it surpass your expectations?
Definitely.
I'm pleased you said that. I wouldn't have hated it if you'd said no, it fell well
No,
short.
definitely. I loved it. It's the thing I'm proudest of.
That's fantastic. I think we're probably just about coming up on time. Thank you so much. That's been fascinating. As I say, Poor Cow should be in cinemas extremely soon. It'll be on Blu-ray and DVD very soon as well. Thank you so much, and well done.
Thank you, Philip.